We have some notes. Go ahead and begin handing those out. I had a little fun with the title. Last week it was 2020 Clear Vision. This week it's 2020 Clearer Vision. I didn't get enough laughs, but that's okay. And the subtitle is, this like a little series, the subtitle here is The Cross and Deep Change. Everybody say The Cross and Deep Change. Deep change. We need help, don't we? I want this message, as you're gathering the notes there, I want this message to help our hearts resolve our lives' challenges inside of us. And I want us to look more fully at the Lord's gift of Himself to us. The Lord's gift of Himself to us. His desire for us. And His sacrifice to make us His again. We cannot underestimate the pure desire God has for loving fellowship with us. If you like everything God does for you, but you don't really know Him, you just might not fit into heaven. Because it's all about Him. And what we want to do is to stir your heart to a deeper relationship with Jesus and with Father God. Now, we declared last week that the gospel is news. It's not advice. That all the world religions offer, and a great swath of Christianity comes as advice, and advice is something that you have to do. So advice ends up putting burdens on you. Whereas the gospel is news about somebody who's come and accomplished something for you, and that it takes burdens off of you when you learn the good news. And so the gospel is not advice, it's news. It tells us that God has already accomplished what He wants for us, and we want to receive that so the burdens can come off. And some of you are facing burdens right now. So it's my prayer in this message that you would offload this burden of your soul. Now, I have a warning. The warning up front here is, in the quest for a search, many of you, we just want to go deeper in the Lord and our identity in the Lord, but this is kind of the warning here. The human heart is an idol factory. This is the warning. You can jot that down somewhere. The human heart is an idol factory. The human heart tries desperately, although in a deceptive fashion, to meet its own deepest needs with something other than God Himself. Did you hear that? To meet its own needs with something other than God Himself. So the human heart fails over and over, taking a good thing in life and trying to make it the ultimate thing to live for, and then is disappointed every time. It may take a few years to discover that the very thing you were sure was going to fulfill you fails you once again. It fails to deliver. Idols always overpromise and underdeliver, always. St. Augustine discovered this in 398 A.D. St. Augustine of Hippo wrote in his Confessions, he said this, "You have made us for Yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in You." He figured it out. Pascal in 1670, he published this. He said, "What else does this craving and this helplessness proclaim? That there was once in man a true happiness, of which all now remains is empty print and trace. This he tries in vain to fill with everything around him, seeking in things that are not there the help he cannot find in things that are, though none can help. Listen to this. Since this infinite abyss can be filled only with the infinite and immutable object, in other words, God Himself." By the way, that statement is the foundation of what everybody has always said. People have quoted and said this from Pascal, but it's really based on that statement. It says, everybody has a God-shaped hole or God-shaped vacuum in the heart that only Jesus can fill. That's where that came from. It developed out of that statement that I fumbled over and read. And Jesus actually said this. He said, if anyone is thirsty, He was filling our thirst today, wasn't He? Is anyone thirsty? Let him come to Me and drink. And whoever believes in Me, as the Scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. So I want to take just a little bit of time in the introduction there and talk about what the gospel is, again, a little different way, okay? First thing, the gospel is a plan. A plan, according to the scriptures, Christ died for us. It's a plan. It says, since the foundation of the world, he chose us in Christ for holiness and predestined us for adoption. It is not some sudden development that because of the fall, this is a plan. You take the plan away, the gospel's gone. The gospel is a plan. And also, the gospel is an event in history. Everybody say, Jesus died. It really happened. It really happened. It's an event in history. Number three, it's also an achievement through that event. An achievement through that event. Now, J.I. Packer called it in a three-word summary of the gospel. He called the gospel propitiation by substitution, which is like two gigantic words, you know. Propitiation, it simply means Christ died in our place, and now God is now favorably inclined toward all who put their faith in Christ because of Jesus. And the punishment for sin is satisfied, and somehow in divine justice, the wrath of God is poured out upon the sinless Son of God, and God has achieved victory over sin and death. Sin and death had won in Adam. You know, sin and death had won. We were toast. Sin and death had won. Won, hands down. But now sin and death are swallowed up. They're swallowed up in the victory of Jesus Christ. This achievement is a one-time event. It'll never happen again. It's a one-time event. Jesus is not going to die again. He doesn't die again when you receive him. It's a done thing in history, and this is the achievement. Hallelujah. And next one, it's a free gift. It's a free gift offered for your faith in him. You see, if you're offered this achievement of the cross, but you have to work for it. And this is going to be the crux of what we're going to go after. For there would be no good news if you had to work for it. None at all. It would be bad news. Hey, God's accomplished something, but now you've got to put burden of your burden. You've got to fulfill, you've got to live perfectly. No, you can't do that. It's a free gift. Everybody say free gift. See, this is the confusion. There's much of the church, and they don't even know what the gospel is. This is the gospel. This is the essence of it. There's going, now, here's the five, our appropriation and application of the gift, that the achievement by the power of the Holy Spirit through an act of your faith is applied to you. And the effect is forgiveness of sins and justification before God in his name. Everyone who believes on his name shall be saved. And now you can enjoy the effects of that achievement, which is called forgiveness. Just revel in it for a moment. Say, I'm forgiven. Hallelujah. See, I was reading, I don't know what theologian said it, but he said there's something reprehensible in every person. And God knows that. You know, God factored in our stupidity when he called us, didn't he? We were talking about this the other day. So when I was 30 years old, I realized what an idiot I was when I was in my 20s, you know. And then I got to be 40 years old, I realized what an idiot I was in my 30s. And when I became 40, I realized what an idiot I was. And when I became 50, I realized what I think I should just understand. I'm an idiot. In need of Christ's help all the time. I think I'm kind of wearing off and getting a handle on how it works. Because the Lord's never going to put a burden on you. And today, I really believe this. I really believe a burden's going to come off. Now, this is the thing. You know, everybody stops there. They all stop right there. They stop on number five. They stop there. The typical person stops right there. They don't know what it's for. They don't know that there's a craving in the heart of Dad that you would look in his eyes and be in love with him. They don't know. See, when Heather and I have a disagreement, everybody say, quote unquote, disagreement. If you're married, you probably had one of those maybe. And something needs to happen. Something needs to happen. What is it? Forgiveness. What's the forgiveness for? It's for the relationship, the restoration of the relationship. It's not just, I got free and now I can go on about my way. It's for the restoration of the relationship. This is what the gospel is about. This is the main point. Number six is the main eternal point. It's about cherishing God the way He cherishes you. It's about coming back into His arms and knowing His deep love for you. It's always about that. Let's look at fill in the blank number one. You've been doing those other ones. Let's look at this one. God is most glorified. Oh man, I want to cry. When you're most satisfied in Him, God is most glorified. When you're most satisfied in Him. When you're not satisfied by Him, you belittle Him. Let that sink in. When you're looking for something else, you actually belittle Him. You're saying you're not enough, and He is enough. All who know Him deeply know He's more than enough. In fact, what you are satisfied by, you will glorify. You will talk that up. Let me just guarantee it will be short-lived. Because the human heart is an idol factory. And when you put something out, say, if I have this, how many of you have ever secretly whispered in your own soul, I don't want you in this area of my life, Jesus? You see, that proves you don't know who He is and the depth of His love for you. And we're always being told, abide in my love, abide in my love, abide in my love, abide in my love. Jesus said, I want you to abide in this love like I abided in the love. Christianity is about a love relationship. So, I'd like to pause right here and underscore this truth of the deep, passionate desire of God for you to enjoy relationship with Him above everything else by reading Revelation 19, 6 through 9. And then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, Hallelujah! For the Lord Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give Him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and the bride has made herself ready. It was granted to her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. In Ephesians, it talks about husbands loving your wives. It says, as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her, that He might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that He might present the church to Himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and blameless. And then it goes on a little bit, exhorting the husbands, and then it says this, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And then Paul says this mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. Who do you love more than anything else? Who do you love more than anything else? As we talked about last week, an idol is something that's good, and then you make it the ultimate thing, and the reason you know it's an ultimate thing because if it's removed from you, you're devastated. What is that thing that's higher than God? Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let that goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Now I want to talk to you about, I guess, the main thing. That's the introduction. The Lord's been revealing some truths to me in the scriptures through the book of Galatians. And so I'm going to throw this at you right quick, and then we'll get on. It'll develop pretty quick here. Galatians 1, 3 through 5, Paul says this, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father." It's not on the back. I'll get to the stuff that's on the back here in a minute. To Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to these words. "Who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from this present evil age." To deliver us from this present evil age. Now, that present evil age was that present evil age, and this present evil age is this present evil age. But he gives us a hint of what that present evil age was like. Let's see if it's similar to this present evil age. Flesh being the flesh, this is the list of the works of the flesh. Now the works of this is Galatians 5, 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Are you ready for this present evil age that he delivers us from? Are you ready? Jesus gave himself for our sins to deliver us from this present evil age. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And I looked up what it means to inherit the kingdom of God. And it means you will not receive eternal life. Inheriting the kingdom of God is the receiving of eternal life. Fear of the Lord is a good thing, isn't it? Now, how Jesus is delivering us from that, again, found in the essence of the gospel, this free gift of God desiring. This is amazing because he's desiring these deep affections. Everybody say deep affections. Deep affections. The Lord wants us to love him deeply, that the level of affection is so deep, it's the reason we're alive. See, that's the thing. This is the course correction of our souls this year. This is the course correction of our soul. That Jesus means more than everything else. That what makes you tick is your relationship with everything comes under him. So he told them, he says, as I've said before, I say now, and now so again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one I delivered, let him be accursed. And here's the essence of the gospel, at least the essence of the summary statement in the book of Galatians concerning the gospel. It's Galatians 2:16. Read it aloud with me. "Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law, no one will be justified." Now, here's the big thing, and I'll go ahead and say it, and then you'll get it when I read this next passage in here. Here's the big thing. This is the big thing. Paul knew all about being legalistic. He knew all about it. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He had that thing down. And so what happened is he would go, and the Lord gave him the gospel, and the gospel was that no works added ever. Works cannot save you. Works are an outflow of what happens. You want to please the Lord and you do good because of a motivation of the gospel in your heart. It changes you. It's not that you got to live up to the law. The law can't save you. If you break one thing of the law, it's all broken. And these guys were coming along and they were saying, basically, you got to be circumcised to get into heaven. You got to add this to it. Now, we can have a little joke here because, what's his name? Michael Jr. said, when God was introducing Abraham to the concept of circumcision, and he came to his servants and said, God wants us to be circumcised. And the servant said, I think he said, your skin. Now, here's what's happening. These guys came in, and you can read all through the book of Galatians, but everything, it wires down to this one thing, that if you try to add to salvation the cutting, the circumcision of the flesh, if you try to add that, to make that the way, you've fallen from grace. You've fallen from grace. You can't be circumcised. You can't even go in because you're counting on that. Now take this. If you add anything to the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're burdening your life. Now let's read Galatians 6, 11 through 15. It says, see what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law. But they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. Now, I'm going to have a fill in the blank here, and we're going to spend the next few minutes dealing with the answer to this one. Number two, boasting in the cross is the only way to become a new creation. Boasting in the cross is the only way to become a new creation. Why? And by the way, you can look up the word boasting or boast. You just go ahead and do a study on that. I heard this idea and I said, man, I got to go look that up. And I started looking all through here, and sure enough, this is amazing. Why does every time Paul bring up the cross, he talks about boasting? Well, I'm here to tell you today that boasting is actually a military term. Soldiers facing battle would have a ritual boast. They'd gather together and they're kind of like, our hands are strong, our spears are sharp, ah! And they would declare what would put confidence in them by a boast. And the boast would set their hearts in confidence to go forth. So the boast is like a battle cry. I'll get to it, but I want to say this: a boast is a historic thing, and actually Shakespeare wrote about it in Henry V play, St. Crispin's Day. Some of you remember that. Do you know anything about that? It was what happened is the English had been winning, and then they suddenly came into a battle that they were vastly outnumbered by the French. And by recalling how the English had previously inflicted great defeat upon the French, they stirred themselves up. So this is Shakespeare writes this play, and I'm not going to say the whole thing by any means, but he says, if we are marked to die, we are enough to do our country loss. And if to live, the fewer the men, the greater the share of honor. God's will, I pray thee, wish not one man more. He that outlives this day and comes home safe will stand a tiptoe on the day named, and see, it's St. Crispin's Day, so they happen to be in battle on that day. This is Henry V, and he's rousing the people to fight on that day. By the way, let me just say this. Let's right here finish this. In bygone times, people live for the honor of their family, not their personal honor. Our culture is disintegrating. In fact, before World War II, money And sex in marriage was for building family. And now money and sex is for personal expression. The culture has changed. The narrative has changed in our culture. So anyway, we see this, that they're calling these guys, that if we're going to show up on this day, he says, and he that outlives this day and comes home safe will stand a tiptoe when this day is named and rouse him at the name of Crispin, that he shall live this day and see old age, will yearly on the Virgil feast of his neighbors say, tomorrow is Saint Crispin. And then he will strip his sleeve and show his scars and say, these wounds I had on Crispin's day. So it's a speech to rally the guys to fight when they're going to die. Now, there's another boast Bill Murray made in the Ghostbusters. This chick is toast! That's a boast, right? In the Old Testament, we have the boast, the Song of Moses. Exodus 15:9 says, the enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil, and my desire shall have its fill of them. I will draw my sword, and my hand shall destroy them. This is they're stirring themselves up. And it says, then the wind blew, you know, the Lord just took them out, you know. And in responding to Ben-Hadad's threat, King of Israel said this in 1 Kings 20, verse 11, says, tell him, listen to this one, this is a boast. Tell him, let not him who straps on his armor boast himself as he who takes it off. Now, I do have this up here. This is Jeremiah 9, 23 through 24. Thus says the Lord. Now, this is this concept of boast. Look at the person next to you and say, you will boast in something. You will boast in something. This is universal. I just didn't realize the nature of it until I saw this. The Lord says, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, and that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. Are you getting here with me? So when you are under spiritual warfare, now everybody look up. When you're under it, and you feel belittled by the devil, and almost everyone goes to something that they have done right, and they want to declare that, like at least I'm a good dad, or at least I'm a good mother, or at least I'm a good business, at least I'm a, and they point to something in themselves, and they make their boast of something that they have done when they're under it. But the devil can outflank your efforts every time. It's nothing to him to stand up against your personal boasts. But when you boast in the cross, when you say, I'm standing under the cross, I'm boasting it, I won't boast in anything except the cross of Christ, by whom I'm crucified to the world, and the world is crucified unto me, I'm boasting in that. And Paul said, I won't boast in anything except that. And he had all kinds of reasons. You can look in, I think it's 2 Corinthians 15. It goes down there about, I'm crazy to have to boast about this. Finally, he ends up in this, I'm boasting in my weaknesses. Why? Because that's where the strength of God comes in. He's talking about boasting in the cross, boasting in that. I'm letting you know today that there's something that the Lord wants to happen in your life and my life by putting him first and saying, I'm not going to add anything. I'm going to boast completely and thoroughly in him. It's found in another scripture. I don't think, do I have another one up there or not? Okay, I'll just read this one to you. Romans 2, 28 and 29 says this, for no one who is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical, but a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart by the Spirit, not by the letter. Listen to this statement. His praise, the person who lives in the Spirit, is not from men, but from God. Imagine with me, if you would, that you have put all your confidence in the cross, and that you love the Lord and what he's done for you, and your boast is in the cross. This is what's going to happen. Could you imagine Father God standing up and beginning to applaud you? That applaud, that laudation, that approval is coming from Father God to you because you put all of your boast and confidence in Jesus, and now you're coming right on in to who He is and celebrating Him. In Jesus' name, let every idol come down. In Jesus' name, let everything that you have put your hand to be destroyed, and let your boast not be in any specific thing that you would do, but only what Jesus has done for you, that He can do the freedom in you. Let's praise the Lord a little bit here. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. For Father God is going to be thrilled out of His mind when you, for those who said, I never got, it wasn't anything to do with me. My boast is in one thing. And this, here's another thing. When you're under it, you have a military boast. The cross. The cross takes out the works of darkness. The blood. The blood takes out. By the way, when Jesus was, after Peter had that revelation, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. He knew who He was. After that, Jesus shares with him, well, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to go be crucified. Now, Peter rises up. He says, no, 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 no. And did you know that Jesus did not say, get behind me, Peter? He said, get behind me, Satan. Because it is Satan's job always to get you off of the cross. Satan's job always to get you thinking about some other way of redemption for your life instead of the full work of Jesus Christ. Let's praise the Lord again. Now, there's things going on. See, there's things. There's challenges on the inside. And the Lord has said, give your people my cross to boast in. Let them lap their hearts around it like Paul, and let them know that there's nothing that they can do other than boast in the cross, and the things of hell topple in your soul. And all this does, man, is just make you more and more like, you did it all, you did it all, you did it all. The love bursts forth in your heart. God, you're the one who sets me free from sin and death. You're the one that sets me free from the idols of my soul. I boast in the cross. There's things that have had a grip on me, but now I'm saying they have a grip on me no more because I boast. I'm dead to it through the cross of Jesus Christ. The world is crucified to me and I to the world. And this goes on and on and on because he gets into the whole, how do you live in the Spirit? What's the spiritual life about? So we got just a couple of things left and we'll be done. Now this was my huff and puff and blow the house down part. Okay, how you doing? So I have this deep change happens when section. And first of all, I want you to know that Romans 8:29 says that for those whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed. Everybody say conformed. That's the word sin, morpheo. S-Y-N. It means to conform. In other words, to be formed in the image of the image of Jesus. So the goal of God is that you be conformed to the image of Jesus. So now, the first deep change happens when A, someone prays intentionally for you. And I want to tell you why in the book of Galatians. When you read the book of Galatians, you feel like Paul is really, really upset. But it's not Paul that's upset. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is pouring forth argument after argument to destroy the concept of adding anything to the cross. It just comes and it comes and it comes and it comes. You got to get anything off and out of the way of what Jesus has done so that you'll be celebrated and praised by the Father for choosing everything that Jesus has done, right? But he's literally says this in Galatians 4:19, if you want to jot this down. My little children, whom I am again in anguish until Christ be formed in you. I'm in anguish. In other words, They went the way of another gospel that wasn't the pure work of God that accomplishes the lifting of burdens off your soul. They went another way. And now he's crying out in prayer. He's intensely praying deeply. And he's revealing a secret to us. Do you have somebody that's really going through it? You can pray intensely, and they will change. Things will begin to change. Morpho. Literally, this is what that means. Until a mind and life until a mind and life in complete harmony with the mind and life of Christ shall have been formed. How many of you have people that you just need to intensely pray for until the mind and life of Christ is formed in them? B, the next one, you are transformed by the renewing of your mind. And this is the different word. This is metamorpho. Sounds like metamorphosis. Yes, it does. This is where the caterpillar is in one state, and then you are transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let me give you one. I don't think I put it in here. Your mind is for reflection to fuel your heart's affection. Your mind is for reflection upon the Word, upon all that Jesus has done, to fuel your heart's affection. You need affection fueled in your heart. And that's the role of the mind, to look upon the Word of God and be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Your mind is for reflection to fuel your heart's affection. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And then see the last one, you are transformed by beholding Jesus. Transformed by beholding Jesus. There's three ways. Renewing the spirit of your mind according to the Word of God. Somebody praying for you intensely. And then you beholding Jesus. It says, and we all with an unveiled face beholding the glory of God being transformed into the same degree image from one degree of glory to another. And this comes by the Spirit of the Lord. Let's go ahead and set everything just aside just for a minute. Lift your heads, would you? Close your eyes if you would do that. This happened to Philip. Philip was being stoned to death, and he looked up and he saw Jesus. I'm going to ask right now for the Holy Spirit to make it easy for you to behold the Lord, that you would begin to see Jesus, to see Him, to see Jesus. Man, I guess the Holy Spirit just said this to me. You see, He's already done the destroying of the things that would keep you from seeing Him. He's already done the destroying. By faith, you receive the freedom that He gives you, the washing of the blood over your soul, the cleansing of sin from your life, the casting down of idols in your mind. And then you look and you see, oh, okay. I believe really, truly the Lord wants to communicate with each one of you personally right now. I have a witness in my spirit. For some of you, He just might be smiling. For some of you, you feel like you're going to be able to win now. You're going to be victorious now. For some, it might be that the Lord wraps His arms around you. He's doing it. He's ministering. Now, a little while ago, I said, ask a question. Is there some area of your life that you said, I don't want God to be in this area of your life? Right now, just go ahead and open that to Him. Say, I will give this to you. I will give this to you. Because we have an adversary that wants to tell you that you're going to be more fulfilled if something else happens other than Jesus. And he's a liar. He's a liar. Your life and your spirit, your soul is going to be satisfied in the Lord, and there's going to be peace in your life because of who he is, not because of a certain sort of circumstances. Yes, the Lord has places to take us and things to do with us. But those don't become the ultimate things. they stay under His authority. Let's pray in the Spirit some more here, guys. Let's just go ahead and pray. Just pause for a moment. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you would just stand with me and lift your heads to the Lord still. The Lord wants all of us this year to go into a deeper place of love relationship with Him. Deep place of love relationship with Him. And He wants to show you and convince your heart that what He has done for you is more than enough to deal with anything in your life and everything. Let me say this. Somebody here has a set of losses that they just held on to. And the Lord wants you to give them to Him. There's like a set of, it's almost like you got used to things being taken away and became sick-hearted and then just shut the door and went on living best you could. And the Lord wants to go to that door and open it up and heal all of that through the power of His cross. He wants to take all the heartache out. He wants to do that for you. So we have agreeing prayer up front. We have authoritative works of the Spirit. The Lord has really poured upon us this day. We're going to dismiss. Once again, lift up your head. Just say, thank you, Jesus, for working in my life. Through the power of the cross. Amen. You're dismissed.